Media Station.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. It's Nick in for Barry. Barry back tomorrow. Aaron in for Nick, so that Nick can be on this side of the glass. And we always have a good time when we get together when Barry is out. You know you're my ride or die guy when we make it.
Greatly appreciated. But so, Laminack will be back tomorrow for yes. Way Back Wednesday.
So you guys can get back to your fighting ways, and I will try to stay out of the fray. We mentioned in the first hour of the show right off the top, Rockets made a couple of roster moves. Unbeknownst to a lot of people, they had two roster spots open. Once they did their wheeling and dealing with Clint Capella, they were saving them. And obviously, in my opinion, and what remains to be seen for me is just how much left in the tank the two guys have. But with that being said, we know D'Antoni's a trust guy. We know that there's a lot that goes into him putting you on the court. One, in the regular season, and then it's a totally different animal in the playoffs. And the fact that they were able to get a guy that your two best players are very familiar with, have played with in the past, and Jeff Green, a guy that I've been after the Rockets to get for the last 3 or 4 years because of the fact that I just felt like his combination of 3-and-D, length at 6'9", versatility, and can put it on the floor, was perfect for what the Rockets were looking for. Even before they got Robert Covington, Jeff Green in his prime would have been the perfect complement to Westbrook and Harden. And the fact that all three were in OKC together, that's just a huge plus. And then they went and they got Damari Carroll, who was bought up by the Spurs yesterday. And Damari Carroll's a guy that's been in Houston once previous, so he knows the city and he knows what to expect from that regard. He's also another 3-and-D guy known for being, as you mentioned earlier in the show, tough, really gritty defender, can make the open three ball, and can play in the post. Even though he's a little bit shorter, he's a lot stronger than a lot of guys. So I like the two additions. The only thing that remains to be seen are on twofold is, one, do they have anything left in the tank? And two, will Mike D'Antoni trust him come playoff?
Yeah, and look, we talked about Carroll. I talked about Carroll in the first hour and about how tough he is. Jeff Green, I mean, he got waived by the Jazz after signing a one-year free agent deal. So it'd be interesting to see how Mike D'Antoni views him in terms of that trust factor that we're talking about and how he'll include him in the rotation. But, you know, both of these players have something to prove, I feel like, to a certain extent, and I think that can give them a little bit of an edge. Hopefully, you know, like you mentioned, Jeff Green started his career, I think, with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So maybe that helps. You know how the Rockets tend to like, you know, adding people to the roster that, you know, that are friends of some of the players on the team.
Well, it eliminates the chemistry element, right?
Correct.
Because you know that it is a very, very, I don't want to say volatile, but it's a delicate situation when you enter a locker room that has two guys like Westbrook and Harden that handle the ball as much as they do. And obviously, with the way they handle it, they don't pass the ball a whole lot, and that can be frustrating for certain players. And then how you handle that frustration, if you voice your frustrations, that can cause issues too. So you have to fit the locker room culture as well as being a piece that can help them on the floor. I think these two guys fit the criteria. Now we just, like I said, remains to be seen what they have to still bring from a basketball standpoint. That'll be big. But of course, everybody was talking about it, and it was talked about on First Take this morning, and I had to run it back a couple of times before I recorded it to put on the air with you guys. But our friend Stephen A. Smith, let's just say that subtle details. Remember when Chris Broussard was talking about the fact that Jeff Teague should be a trade piece in anything Minnesota does at the deadline when he was already gone, dealt, and wasn't with the Timberwolves anymore? Well, Stephen A. has been known to do it in the past, and lo and behold, with your Rockets, he did it again this morning.
I'm going to tell you this, Max. I think the Utah Jazz are the wild card. I don't blame you for saying Houston because of what Russell Westbrook and James Harden brings to the table with small ball. And I'm a fan of Gerald Green coming off their bench. I think his athleticism and his ability to make shots at times, I think that he can do some things for them once he gets healthy. But I'm going to go with the Utah Jazz.
Stephen A., Gerald Green was out for the year and then was traded anyway so that his salary could be used as part of the Capella deal. He was with Minnesota, or he was either Minnesota, Denver, he was with Denver, and they cut him. But No Gerald Green in the mix.
But, I mean, does Denver releasing Gerald Green after they traded for him?
Once you trade him, you can't reclaim him for a year.
No, but I mean, like, is that an indicator? The fact that Gerald Green got cut. I mean, a part of the reason why Gerald Green was such a great, great fit, I think, was when Chris Paul was on the team, right?
Well, but I'm saying, Stephen A. saying that the Rockets are going to get something out of Gerald Green when he returns from injury. Gerald Green's no longer on the roster.
Oh, right. I know that.
And he's not coming back from injury.
It was just a typical Stephen A. Smith moment. I mean,
when was the last time when he was talking about the Charger? There were several of them in a row.
Someone that's no longer in the league.
And it was the tight end that he called out and said was going to be a factor in a Monday night game, and he was out for the year. And those things happen. But I keep telling you guys, that's where your producer's got to be in your ear at ESPN going, whoa, Stephen A., you said Gerald Green. You got to clean that up. Even if you want to, and you can spin it. You can say, maybe you meant Jeff Green, even though he's not hurt. So he's not coming back from injury, but you could spin it. But no one did, and there it was.
Yeah, he might be getting a... Because Max Kellerman has done a very similar mistake on the air, and Stephen A. Smith and who's the big... Kendrick Perkins? Mm-hmm. They just let it go. Like, they're just like, man, you just made a mistake. Whatever.
See, I think but he did that. He let him kind of fly in the wind there.
No, he didn't catch it. He said a team, I think he said like Brock Osweiler was playing.
In this case right here with the Gerald Green thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think Max gave you the eyes to the camera, like, but didn't say anything.
Oh, he wouldn't give him the heads up. Yeah.
Like, I would do that to you, or you would do that to me. Like, on air, if you said that, I'd be like, Nick, I think you said Gerald Green, you might mean.
Yeah. We do that all the time. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. I mean, look, he's obviously having some brain farts, but look. And no one's getting rid of Stephen A. Smith at the mothership, okay?
He just signed a new deal, and it's like for mega bucks. He's not going anywhere. Next to Tony Romo's contract negotiations, Stephen A. got paid just as good as anybody in the business right now. So that's a big deal. The other thing that was interesting to me, fellas, is the NBA Players Association named Kyrie Irving their new vice president, replacing Pau Gasol. You scratch your temple and say, well, why did that catch you off guard, Joel? Well, because that's a leadership role. With the Players Association, a very important and prominent position. No one in my mind has shown you what leadership should not be over the last 4 or 5 years of his career than Kyrie Irving, and you're making him a VP.
And Kendrick Perkins absolutely agrees with you, because he was pretty harsh at reacting to Kyrie Irving becoming that, you know, he did not give much love to Kyrie Irving. So he's in complete agreement with you there. I don't know. Maybe they see something in Kyrie in terms of a leader that we don't see.
I mean, you would think he learned something from Boston, right? Because he completely alienated the Celtics last year over and over again. But now his new team, the Brooklyn Nets, let's not forget that early in the season, he was quick to point out all the guys that were not going to be there next year when he and KD teamed up. And all the other things where he was completely calling out teammates. And it's like, and you're going to make him the VP. Now, and granted, Chris Paul's the president. Chris Paul's fantastic. He's the one responsible for getting the All-Star game to make the changes they made so that we had a compelling game and weekend this weekend. So Chris Paul gets things done. I don't understand the Kyrie Irving part of this. And who you got? Aaron, is this the Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah, this is Perkins reacting to it.
To me, it's the blind leading the blind. Kyrie has proven to all of us that he's not a leader. And I don't understand this for the life of me. Maybe he surprised the world and become this better person overnight. But when he was with the Celtics, he wasn't a good leader. And now he's in Brooklyn. We had several occasions where he didn't threw guys under the bus or whatever the case may be, saying that he don't need certain guys or he want this guy back. And it's just, I don't see those leadership skills in Kyrie. So hopefully he proves me wrong, because the Players Association has been moving forward in a great way. So hopefully he don't ruin it.
When did he say that?
That was on the Midnight Edition of SportsCenter.
Because I didn't hear that till just now. But that was kind of what I was saying, too, is the fact that I don't get it. I don't care if he thinks the world is flat. But the way he handles player-related issues within his own locker room culture scares me, that all of a sudden now you're putting him front and center to make decisions for the whole Players Association.
I mean, if I had to give him the benefit of that, I would like to think maybe he's evolved as a personality. We haven't really seen it yet, but maybe this is an opportunity for him to show that he could be a leader. Really, I think you should show to be a leader on your team and working with your teammates on the court, but maybe this is an opportunity for him to show. Just like Kendrick Perkins said, maybe he can prove him wrong, but Kendrick Perkins has been in the league, so I mean, I think he knows the type of player Kyrie Irving is in terms of a personality and in terms of what a potential leader he can be, and he's a guy that knows if someone can actually embrace that role. A lot of us didn't believe James Harden can embrace a leader role, and some people still think he can't be a leader. But at the very minimum, we can say that his personality has evolved in terms of dealing with criticism.
I'd be much more comfortable if Tyson Chandler was my vice president of the NBA Players Association than a Kyrie Irving.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean, it's your opinion. And look, I can't disagree with you. There's no argument I can bring to the table that says you're wrong, really, because he hasn't shown that he's a good leader. And you've seen, he talked about throwing people under the bus. You know how that's, you could get past it when you start snitching and throwing people over the bus. Mike Fiers is still in the league. Who was the Laker that threw Swaggy P under the bus? Was it Russell?
Nick Young?
No, it was D'Angelo Russell.
D'Angelo Russell threw Swaggy P because of his talent, mostly. He's still in the league.
That's right.
But he got over the snitching factor. Maybe Kyrie Irving can get over it, too. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't believe he can do it, but maybe he can prove us wrong.
There you go. All right. Don't prove us anything but right by staying tuned to us. We're going to take it till 4 o'clock. We got much more to get to. Final hour of the show is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. If you missed the shuffling of the deck over the last 2 days, Nick Sciarra doing a fantastic job filling in for Barry Laminack, who had a little time off, and he's taking it. Aaron Raybould filling in today. Tyler Scott filled in yesterday behind the glass so that we could do what we do. And me, I'm just here. So that's the way we do business. And so we wanted to make sure that you guys are still highly entertained, and we run the gamut. We cover all the different topics of the day. I did want to tell you guys about this because I mentioned it earlier in the show, and it is worth the story, I think, but I'll let you guys be the judge. So I do what I normally do. I take Taylor to school in the morning, then I grab a coffee, then I come back, and I start working on the show. And I do it on the kitchen table, and my computer is obviously, I'm not hiding anything, my computer's out there. And Lisa then is on baby duty with Madison, and the TV's on and whatever. And she's hovering behind me. And she says she's making a bottle for Taylor. But of course, instead of doing that, she's looking over my shoulder and she goes, Pornhub movie filmed at library outrages patrons, huh? And I'm like, yeah, it's part of the show. And if you don't listen on a regular basis, and if you're living under a rock and don't realize, that's the kind of stuff that draws up interest and a lot of responses from the suspects. She's like, well... And I go, and what's worse, honey, is it's right in your old backyard in California, right in Santa Monica. And she's like, what are you trying to say, that Californians are all? I go, Lisa, all I'm trying to tell you is, you know, she goes, you know what? I want to know. They have to pay in order to use the public space. I wonder if they paid. And I wonder if that girl is of age. And I go, Lisa, you know what? Unfortunately, it doesn't say that in the story. So I really don't know. And she goes, don't worry about it. I'll look it up. I'll find it right now. And I'm going, why are you doing this to me? And why are you so passionate about it? I know she's big on all this anti, all of that kind of stuff kind of thing. But within 5 minutes, fellas, I'm getting yelled. She's yelling at me from the living room. Oh, the girl's from Houston. And I wonder if she was of age. Because if she wasn't, that could be a problem.
Is she really from Houston?
That's what she said. She was able to find it on some other website. So anyway, the story goes, Santa Monica City, California, inside the Ocean Park Branch Library, Pornhub was filming a movie at the library, and it sparked outrage. There's a young woman involved in the scene. She enters the library. She's talking on camera. She's walking through. She strips off her clothes with students unaware, just a few steps away, working on some kind of a project. The video shows herself exposing herself both on the streets and in the library, and then carrying out sex acts inside the library.
Yeah. And what's even crazier is that the video is 10 minutes in length. And I'm not sure if that's unedited or edited, but they did this for a very long time. How they were able to get away with shooting even 10 minutes of edited content, which means it could be more than 10 minutes that they recorded, is beyond me. And you have to understand, and I'm pretty sure California is, I'm not a law expert, but I feel like anytime you commit crimes on like campuses, like school campuses or anything near elementary schools, I think it's even worse. But to Lisa's credit, she does look quite young, man. I don't know if she's underage young, but well, she does look quite young.
She found some information about it somewhere, and I wasn't going to look that hard.
I am right now, but I don't see anything that says she's from Houston. I'm not saying Lisa was wrong. I'm just saying she does look young, though. She does look incredibly young. But well, I don't know why Pornhub would...
A neighbor to the library said, God forbid a child walked into the library and walked right in on the middle of it. That's my biggest concern. Children don't need to be exposed to this. If you want to do porn, stick to the hotels.
Yeah, that was a neighbor that said that. Yep. A neighbor, Janet McLaughlin, I think McLaughlin. Is her name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why a parent wouldn't appreciate something like that, especially being around all those schools, like an elementary school. Yeah, I mean, I could see why someone would be upset. I just think it's bold. I just think it's incredibly bold.
The neighbor said that the city leaders are aware, but their hands are tied. And she went on to say that it's a misdemeanor unless they witness it themselves. There's nothing they can do about it. And the face of the man in the video is never shown.
Yeah, I think they blurred it out, right? Isn't that what it says in the first? I'm looking at another Los Angeles website that's talking about it, and that's what they just said. There's two stories that I'm looking at. None of them says that she's from Houston, but she does look young, and that's bold.
According to my sources.
Yes, which will be unnamed.
She is from Houston, and she's also 19 years old, born November 2000.
Mm,
so see? Houstonian of age.
But barely.
Barely, but of age, nonetheless. Probably not morally, in terms of ethics and morals, is probably not appropriate. But by the land of the law, she could do whatever she wants at 19.
Evidently, she is, and she's doing it on camera. So that little tidbit of information.
I'm like, Lisa, Khalifa?
I don't think when you did a news story, I was hitting you up on text or hovering around, going, you know what? I'm going to delve a little deeper into what you guys just put on that little investigative report because I don't like it.
I love how Joel is taking shots at the wife on the air right now.
Oh, she's probably listening because this is pickup line time.
If you go to her Twitter, Nick, she actually looks like a friend of yours.
Excuse me?
Alice Little.
Can we make sure you're referencing whose Twitter? Because it's not Lisa's.
Her name is Ellie Eilish.
Alice Billy's Little. Sister. No?
No.
See. Okay.
She let me see if she looks like Alice Little.
If
you go to her Twitter, it's the one with her in the blue blazer.
Nick, he may be onto something here.
Yeah, she does kind of look like it. She does kind of look like Alice Little. She does. If she had red hair, she does, yeah.
You guys are tight, aren't you?
No, we're not.
You and Alice Little? I mean, you're going to Vegas.
Aren't you going to see her?
Yeah, I was going to say, going to Vegas this weekend. Aren't you guys going to catch up?
First of all.
No?
Yes, I'm throwing Laminack under the bus, and he even admitted to it on the air, so technically I'm not. He's the one who wanted to interview Alice Little. I was just doing my job as a producer.
But then because you were doing your job as a producer, didn't you guys have a bit of a connection to where, like, you had a rapport? I'm not saying, like, a real connection. I don't want to throw you that far under the bus. I'm just saying you guys got along well on the phone when you were lining up everything.
I didn't know. That's not true. I talked to her for probably 2 minutes. Actually, you know what?
Sometimes, Nick, that's all it takes. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Laminack is the... Actually, he didn't specifically request Alice Little. He just wanted to talk to someone from that industry when the Robert Kraft situation happened.
Yes.
And she just happened to be the girl
that... Did she, quote-unquote, fall into your lap?
She kind of did, because I called... What's the big ranch that they have in Reno?
The Bunny Ranch.
Is that the one that she works at? The one that she's employed at?
I believe that's
the Bunny Ranch. Was it the Bunny Ranch?
I think so.
Anyway, they're the ones that told me that she's like very vocal in the media. She has her own YouTube channel, and she's the one that's more open to talk about situations like that. So she's become a friend of the show, not a friend of mine. Yes, she's a luxury companion at the Bunny Ranch. She doesn't like to be called a prostitute. She likes to be called a sex worker.
Or a whore. Okay.
No. Yeah, I don't think she would appreciate that
word
at
all. Well,
you
wouldn't call her that because you guys are friends.
We're not. Okay.
Or you're just friendly on the phone.
We're not friendly on the phone. We had her on once.
No, we had her on twice, by the way.
Did we?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we did have her on twice. See, yeah. I don't even remember how many times we've had her on the show. So
right, because it's like every time you catch up with an old friend, you don't keep count after a certain amount of time because you guys have built that up.
Actually, I know why this is happening because you know that app, that texting app that's like encrypted? It's called like either Signal. Yeah, Signal. Signal is like a texting app that encrypts your text messages to the point where when you have a when you send a text, you can have it immediately like disappear, almost like Snapchat.
Didn't Cuban create that?
It might have been.
I think Mark Cuban's company had a, is involved in the company that created that software.
Right. So what happened was I did indeed get her phone number, and every time you have your contacts in your phone and you download that app, it notifies you and tells you every person that's joined that app. She's one of them. Investigative reporters are all over it. People like Dan Wetzel, you know, Ken Rosenthal. A lot of people are on this app because they're trying to get sources and they're trying to be as private about it as possible. Like, you see a lot of reporters on that. A lot of people that break news are on it. And Alice Little just happens to be on the same app.
Okay.
And I got the notification. So there goes my explanation, and I think it's legit.
Okay, Aaron said she was your friend, not me.
Just, you know, just defending myself. You guys made me a little defensive.
I was going to say, when you defend, do you get defensive? Just checking. Because you know what? That means that the Rockets have added two very defensive players.
You're still going to crap on their defense. Don't act like you're not going to crap on their defense.
Nick, I don't have enough toilet paper to crap on people like that. I just give the honest to God's truth. And if some people think that I'm an a-hole because of it, I can't do anything about it.
That's fine. That's fair enough.
Okay. You know what else is fair enough? We have 30 minutes on the clock and we come back in a half hour. If there's something you want to get into, let me know. You and the peeps. We'll get into it. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 30 minutes to go on the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As I always tell you about this time in the show, we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Aaron will be there as well as here, as he works double duty. But Fred and AJ will be here as well, Aaron, I would assume, as they normally are, before they venture off to Vegas with Trader Nick, who is Ben and Nick
Wilder
Arnold.
Wilder Fury, man. That's going to be a big fight, dude. That's a huge fight that I'm looking forward to.
And Ben and Nick Arnold is going to be going to Vegas when he leaves the suspects again.
When tomorrow night.
Which he happily does every opportunity he gets. He leaves us high and dry so that he can be either at tight ends or in Vegas, whatever the case may be.
Speaking of road shows or places we've been to for a road show, we have a text from the 409 asking when's the next time we're going to be back in Beaumont. I asked you that question during the break, and I think we would have to wait until the football upcoming season. NFL season, correct?
Yeah, we normally have a deal during football season to head down to the big money B. During football season, but then it ends. So unless you guys can get someone in the Beaumont area that wants us back by popular demand, might I suggest, I don't know, the 5-under golf center that we enjoyed going to.
Oh, that was an amazing spot in Beaumont. That place is amazing.
We love going down to Beaumont. It's just that whenever it has to be on the schedule, so we've got to get some people to say they want us down there, and we'll go.
So there's your update on that, and then one more text. Any news about the big brawl in college hoops? Prairie State University was involved. We talked about that in the first hour.
Prairie View and Jackson State. Yes, and we did cover that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, go back to the podcast, podcastarena.com, ESPN975.com, and listen to the podcast.
Did you see, so someone else texted, Barry and Joel should take some pictures like Harden and Westbrook in GQ. Did you see those pics?
It was a tribute to Outkast, right?
I guess.
I think that's what it was.
I don't mind the gray petticoat look, the trench coat and the petticoat look on the two of them, but the mesh sweater and things like that, no, probably not my style.
I'm not sure you would do that, but I feel like Barry Laminack would definitely participate in something like that. He'd be all about it. He'd be open-minded. You're just
if they were skinny pants, I think that's possible.
You're closed-minded.
I am the not. Suspects I'm closed-wise. I'm closed.
Take a picture with Laminack. You know?
No.
Get a fur coat. We'll get a red carpet out, just like they do at Toyota Center. You know, we'll get some video.
No.
Why not?
No. Not doing it. Some of the people that text things, and there's people that just love Stephen A. that think that, like, this is, like, I don't get it. But
you know what? I just think he's having brain farts. When he's prepped, he really is. Like, he's really good at what he does, I feel like, for the most part. A lot of people give him a lot of heat. A lot of people don't like
him. He's popular.
He's popular because he's, you know, he's animated.
Amongst other things, right?
But, you know, he's got to be super prepped each and every time. There's a lot of things you got to cover when you're on the...
Super prepped, by the way. May I also state that while we were catching up on text messages during the break, we were catching up on Twitter. You read a very heartfelt tweet from our very own friend, Juggalo Trey Campbell, who said he would be producing The Usual Suspects on Thursday and Friday, to which I said to you, news to me.
Yeah, well, maybe AJ assumed that you made the request like you did last time. You guys were we really hate this guy, Nick.
Barry brought it up
last
time.
Nick is producing the show. Can we please get Trey? Because Nick sucks at it so much. That's what you said. And so now AJ's honoring your request.
Did you get the notification that you were filling in for Barry?
I didn't.
I'm sorry. Clarify that. You what?
I did not.
You did not. Okay, because neither did I. So with that being said... I believe what we're talking about is a communication issue because I didn't know Trey was going to be back producing our show one day, let alone 2 days in a row. Later, I love Trey. I just would have liked to have been in the loop.
Is this any way to go at AJ Hoffman, who gave you credit for how long, Aaron? Like 5 or 10 minutes on the show yesterday?
I'm just pointing out that sometimes details are important.
And you're just going at it, just calling him out on the air.
Wait a minute. If I didn't, when I got up Monday, text you, and also last week, prepare you for the fact that we were going to have back-to-back shows together, would you have known then?
I mean, I should know.
Would you have known? You'd have gone out drinking like you normally do, because when you're not doing shows, you probably, as you admittedly have said, that you aren't as laser-focused on the next day.
But I will say this. I knew there was a chance. You just said, hey, did AJ talk to you about it? I just didn't get a confirmation, so I just prepped as if I was. So I actually did remember I was going to
possibly do the show. I'm not saying you wouldn't remember, but I'm saying, did I not say to you, Nick, because with Barry being out, keep in mind Barry's going to be out, so you know you're my go-to, so we'll be doing the shows Monday, Tuesday. It's just that someone from a official leadership position didn't get involved in the discussion. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay. Now, yesterday's show, nothing but love.
Sorry,
for Joel
I missed
Blank. Today's show,
very unexpected.
He's crapping on you for 2.5
what
segments.
What else is new? And then you'll go to Vegas and they'll crap on you for the horn.
That's fine. I'm used to it. Ain't no.
There we go. So if Trey joins the show later this week, hopefully we'll have NASCAR updates. He should give you
it's going to be 2 days removed, but he'll still have an opinion, I'm sure.
Someone volunteered to give us NASCAR information. Let's be very clear about this. If there's one thing that everyone here on the station feels very comfortable saying, I believe, it is that we would go to Trey first and foremost for anything about anything racing, or especially NASCAR, because that dude, his love for racing and NASCAR is greater than most that I have ever come across.
Yeah, I initially didn't believe how much he loved NASCAR, because I just didn't expect it for whatever reason. And then I would always see him write articles. I would always see him talk about it in the hall. So, yeah, he's definitely our NASCAR guy on the station. So I was talking to Aaron, actually, in one of the breaks, and he was telling me how it happened while he was producing, I forget which show, but it was the 7 and 9.
Right before he started Late Hits.
And you could just tell he was obviously disturbed by the whole situation. And like we said before, our thoughts and prayers out to Ryan Newman. Yeah. Yep. And hopefully he gets better and recovers quickly.
Well, and funny you say that, because Associated Press just released an update at 3:21 Central.
They did.
And they said that Ryan Newman is awake, speaking with family and doctors a day after that horrific crash on the final lap. That is the best news of all.
Wow. That's amazing. Because, you know, when you're in a situation like that where time is of the essence and you're trying to get somebody out of a car that's on fire, 30 seconds feels like 15 minutes. And so watching that was just...
Oh,
dude,
awful.
That just felt like an eternity. So I'm glad that he's awake and at least speaking.
Yeah, no doubt about
that. At the very minimum.
I don't know if you saw this or not, and you and I were talking about this during the break, but I mentioned earlier in the show the Lions may be open to trading Matt Stafford. I've heard, depending on what Tom Brady does, the Patriots might be interested. But Matt Stafford may be on the trading block because they're looking to get one of the young quarterbacks in the draft. Now, odds makers are tabbing the Lions and the Dolphins as the favorites to draft Tua Tagovailoa. Interesting, that comes on the heels of Joe Burrow saying yesterday that he's in the driver's seat. to determine where he goes, even though with the number one pick, he being an Ohio guy, his girlfriend being a Cincinnati girl, that the Bengals look to be the only choice for Joe Burrow that they're going to take at number one. But as we get closer to the draft, this is interesting because the Lions have an established quarterback like Matt Stafford. The Dolphins, they're talking about giving up 5, 18, and 39, those three picks, to move up to get Tua.
Yeah, despite the hip injury, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there might be maybe someone over there believes, has an unbelievable belief in Tua, thinks he'll be able to recover fine from the hip injury. We were all talking about how much this could impact his draft stock following the injury. Nick Saban kind of got some heat for playing him, which I didn't think was warranted, to be quite honest. But look, he's still considered. He's going to be considered despite the injury because of what he was at Alabama.
The thing. Before he was hurt, and Lance's opinion would be interesting, but of all the people that you see, the multiple people that break down the draft, and most people would, there's a lot of people in the camp that said until Tua hurt his hip, most people had Tua rated higher than Joe Burrow and would have been the first quarterback off the board. And obviously Burrow had maybe the greatest college, one season of college football any quarterback's ever had.
You got to make that tough decision. Now someone's going to have to pull the trigger and say, are we going to pass up on this guy and regret it a year or two later down the road, or do we take a chance with the hip injury? It's a tough decision, man. And Joe Burrow, I can see, I think with the comment, I think the media kind of created this narrative that he doesn't want to play for the Bengals because of that one quote that he had. But he did follow up by saying, look, it would be cool to go back to Ohio where I'm from and play. I think he's trying to control the narrative to a certain extent. But, I mean, when you have...
His dad was out there before that, though, remember, stirring the pot, too, trying to put some stuff out there. So you just don't know. But obviously, if you want to go somewhere, you'd like to go to a place that's set up either with a lot of picks to go forward into the future. But the Bengals don't have the greatest reputation on the planet in terms of the NFL and the way they do business.
And I think that's in the back of every player's mind, especially a quarterback who is highly touted like he is. I think they got to wonder about teams like Cleveland and Cincinnati. I'm sorry. I've never felt comfortable with either one of those front offices ever. I just haven't. I mean, Cleveland has not shown, even despite...
I understand Cleveland when they had the baseball guy, but I really thought that they had got it right this last year.
With all that they added.
With all the changes, right.
Yeah, and on paper...
Dorsey's a football guy.
He is. But on paper, they look like a fantastic team. They did not click. They did not click as much.
Do you blame Freddie Kitchens or do you blame the front office?
Probably both, because they made the decision to hire Freddie Kitchens, and it became pretty quickly apparent that he wasn't the right hire. I want to say, what, 3 weeks in?
It was pretty early on that they could figure out he wasn't the right guy. But again, I think... That's Kitchens' fault in terms of the team performance you're talking about. I think Dorsey made so many great moves, OBJ and all the different guys that he brought in and was responsible for getting to turn that franchise around, including drafting Baker number one and the first year that looked great. He made one bad mistake. He hired a guy that had never even been a coordinator before as his head coach, and he didn't have control of the team. So I don't know.
If you keep that roster as closely as possible to last year's, and you hire a different coach that you really believe in, maybe it changes. But that's going to be after the second year. If they continue with this essentially the same team, if they have relatively the same result.
If they don't, though, if they have good success, then what does that tell you?
Then it's Freddie Kitchens.
Let me finish this with one question for you. Who would you rather have as your general manager right now, the Houston Texans? John Dorsey, Bill O'Brien?
I just don't believe in a coach... I don't believe in general a coach should be a general manager, period. I believe that whole hierarchy of, you know, owner, general manager, head coach, I think that should remain in place.
Okay.
I mean, I've always felt like that. You when you're the head coach and you're the general manager, you're literally being pulled in about 25 different directions at the same time.
There's one just like screaming example of a guy that does both. Bill Belichick.
He does.
I mean, other than that, I understand your point. It's just that obviously there's one that the Texans, and since they're such about the Patriots way, that's probably, Bill would like to have it that way.
Well, look, the Browns have one more season. I think they have a season to prove themselves right. You know what I mean? If Freddie Kitchens was really the issue, you've removed him. Prove that you can play.
We shall see, my friend. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. Put a bow on it next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back. Usual Suspects, final segment of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7.
Fred, I didn't even realize this is the AJ, last segment of the show. Aaron. This show is gone. My bad. But the show's gone way too fast.
Yeah. By the way, someone said Paul D. Podesta and John Dorsey got into an argument. Look, they're saying Paul D. Podesta's the baseball guy. No, the baseball guy was the guy that came from, I think, the Red Sox. He forgot to fax the final paperwork to get A.J. McCarron, and they let him go. So, wrong guy. Not Paul D. Podesta. Okay, let's just be clear about that. But thank you for tweeting, and we appreciate you listening to the show. So, boy, I'll tell you what. I'm looking at this, and everybody keeps asking me about more things about this. Are the Rockets done? The one thing that I'll tell you, and keep an eye out for the video on Sports Map that should be coming out in the next 24 hours. But we wrapped up a video before the show, and the guys were asking me about what I thought about the moves. The biggest thing that I would say is that for the rest of the regular season, I think they're set up better than they were. I think they're going to be fine. I think D'Antoni's going to experiment with the roster that he has now and try and tweak it and get that second unit up to speed. But come playoff time, there's a couple of things. We mentioned the trust that he has to have in his players before he plays, a la Kenneth Faried not playing last year. And then the other thing that you have to factor in is every team that makes the playoffs in the West has at least one big man that's going to be a load for you to try to defend with the roster that you currently have. And I don't know if that means that's why Jeff Green is on a 10-day contract, and if someone else breaks free, that they'll still take a look at a center, or they're going to be committed to small ball no matter what, and they're not going to add a center. These are the kind of things that I'm going to keep an eye on, because that's going to go a long way to determining what this team can do in the postseason.
That's actually what was the other question that I have in terms of this Rockets move. I meant to ask it to you in the first hour, but I do get this vibe that this is kind of like a Loyola Marymount approach, where you have an unbelievable belief in your approach and your system, and you just stick to it. So my question to you is, do they have this unbelievable belief in this small ball situation, or is it in part because of what they lack in terms of a talent pool in the rest of the league? And this is the move they kind of had to go by after trading Clint Capela.
I honestly believe that, obviously, because Mike D'Antoni believes in it 150%, because that's all he's ever run is different versions of this. But when he ran it in Phoenix, his big man was Amari Stoudemire, a skilled, very athletic,
massive presence,
power
in the paint.
Forward, right?
Yeah,
that could play inside outside. You don't have anybody. Don't tell me Jeff Green can play that role. Don't tell me P.J. Tucker can play that role.
Correct.
Because a lot of people that I'm talking to are telling me P.J. Tucker is not only beat up and hurt, but he's not exactly happy this whole season with the fact that now that you have another ball-dominant player on the team, he's getting, as we've talked on this show, less and less shots, less frequency touching the ball, but yet he's expected to do more and more defensively. And we know that you got to reward players when they bust their ass on the defensive end by giving them the ball a few times more, giving them some shots to say, hey, we appreciate what you're doing, putting in that hard hat work on the other end, and they're not doing that.
Sure, because even players like P.J. Tucker, who do a lot of the dirty work, at some point want to be known as a massive contributor on their team, and sometimes a massive contributor on their team offensively, that's not necessarily what he's known for. We're not saying he has no offense, but he's more known for what he brings in terms of intangibles, the presence that he has, his unbelievable defense, his unbelievable effort. But at some point, even a player like P.J. Tucker wants to be more involved in the offense, and maybe he isn't happy getting the touches. I mean, I think you could set up more plays, or you can have more plays or actions to where you can create a situation where P.J. Tucker gets more of those corner threes, just because people know or teams know that that's his, you know, his sweet spot in terms of shooting three-pointers doesn't necessarily mean that you can't create more different plays and be innovative to the point where you can set him up for that corner three more often than not. That's not the mentality that they're having right now. And obviously, and the other question I would ask you, Joel, is if he does start putting more effort from an offensive standpoint, does that take away what he does in terms of intangibles, like defense? Will his blocking? Will his effort, will his stamina go down in the event he starts focusing his game more on the offensive end and start trying to score more points?
No, I don't think so, because, you know what, as I said, even when we were talking about when you look at the numbers for the output offensively and scoring for the two guys they're bringing in, that's irrelevant to me simply because the one thing that they're not lacking is offense. We know that this team can score points.
100%.
They can score it in bunches. They can get to 150 a night if they had to. But we know that they have a really difficult time stopping teams. Not just stopping teams in the low post, just stopping teams in general. You look at what Giannis said at the All-Star game, and you realize that the rest of the league knows it's not just James Harden, but it starts with James Harden. And the whole theme of the Rockets is you have to outscore the other team to win. You're not going to put the clamps down like in years past when I said we called it the suicide lineup. And you could go to a lineup that could get you a stop in a close game at the end of a ball game. They don't have that right now. And when PJ's hurt, they have less than they've had in the previously. Now you add a Covington, who's a better perimeter defender. You add guys like Carroll, and again, I don't know what I'm going to get from Jeff Green, but at least with Damari Carroll, another perimeter defender that can help you to be physical and also be athletic on the wings, but you still got Russell Westbrook. You still got guys that are undersized. I don't know what Ben McLemore or House is going to give you, and in the playoffs, I think they're going to give you even less because I think they get tight.
Yeah, yeah. Ben McLemore especially, I feel like you mentioned Daniel House and how he doesn't react well when people, or at least I think you mentioned James Harden.
I've said that to you off the air, but on the air as well. Look no further than the playoffs last year when D'Antoni and Harden got up in his grill and yelled at him. He disappeared. He went away, and he's got to get over that.
Yeah, because there's going to be some leaders that yell at you. You're still relatively new in the game, at least relatively new in terms of how many minutes that you've been getting, coming from the G League. Look, I think the one thing you can absolutely appreciate by the additions is, A, we know Carroll is a very physical person. And that's what the Rockets have always needed. The more physical players that they can get, it's not really a negative. In most cases, it's a positive. It's really just a matter of, can they produce offensively as well? And then Jeff Green, the positive there is that the fact that he used to be teammates with James Harden.
And he's 6'9".
Yeah,
and he can shoot the three. But here's the biggest thing. If these two guys are productive, then look for the minutes and the production of Ben McLemore and House to go down, because D'Antoni's going to go with the veteran lineup. He's going to go with guys that can handle the pressure. They can step up. They can do the things necessary in the playoffs. And oh, by the way, Ben McLemore's playoff experience before joining the Rockets this year, zero. Zero. Not one single game. Not one chance has he ever gotten to play in the postseason. So you can't tell me and convince Mike D'Antoni this guy's going to step up come postseason.
Well, they're on a two-game road trip. They're going to play the terrible Warriors, and then they're going to play a good team in the Utah Jazz. So let's see how they pan out.
Well, that'll be good to, a good test to talk about. As we get into a week, still, you and I are going to have to talk offline. We got to get a Way Back Wednesday theme for tomorrow, but Barry's going to be back. Nick will be behind the glass for one more show before he heads off to Vegas. Aaron, we thank you very much for all your contributions, as always. Nicholas, outstanding job for the final 2 days.
Thank you,
sir. Last 2 days of your week.
Barry Laminack tomorrow, people.
Everybody's geeked. Barry's back on a Way Back Wednesday. Y'all have a great night, everybody. Blitz is coming up next. ESPN 97.5.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.